Welcome to Signs of Life, exploring survival of consciousness, brought to you by Forever Family Foundation, on the web at foreverfamilyfoundation.org.
I call your name, the echo is haunting, the echo is always the same. I call your name, the echo is haunting, an echo can never be changed, so I call your name, your name.
The miracle of death, there is nothing but life, and Merchants of Light, the consciousness that is changing the world, are your co-hosts for this evening's show, which, as you may know, will focus on your personal experiences. So many of us have experiences that are outside mainstream thinking, that defy mainstream thinking. So we would like you to join us, to join this conversation as we explore the types of experiences that people have, what they mean, how we can integrate them into our daily lives. Although mediums provide a valuable connection to the deceased, this particular show will center around your direct experiences, which do not involve a medium. And we don't have our dear friend Janet Mayer with us for this evening's show, but she will be back in October. So good evening, Betty.
Hi, Kim. Yes, we're going to really miss Janet tonight. So we hope that you will already start thinking about the experience that you're going to tell everyone tonight, because we need you, just the two of us. You'll miss Janet's response, but we'll do our best, and we really do want to hear from you. Kim will give you the numbers.
888-627-6008 and 323-744-4831. And I'm going to give these to you a few times during this 50 minutes that we will spend together, because it's you who make this show special, and it's you who touch other people's lives and remind everyone that we are all connected and that there is no division between the material world and the immaterial world where our loved ones reside.
Yes. And so we thought we would just, I would take some things from The Miracle of Death, There Is Nothing But Life, short things, so that it won't take long for me to stop if you call in. So I thought, and I had quotations before each chapter in the book, and they really are worth a little time to think about. One I just had been fascinated with from the very first time I read it, by Haridas Chowdhury, and I'll read it to you. This is the quotation. "We need a worldview which shows how our deepest aspirations are related to the essential structure of the universe." Now, I think that is extremely profound, because if we long to be in touch with someone we love, they have stepped into the other world. That is a natural aspiration. That's because it is part of the structure of the universe that, in fact, we be connected. So I think that's beautiful, and I hope that you do too, because it means that these deep aspirations, these deep desires and longings that we have, are coming from the deep structure of the universe itself and expressing that longing and desire and aspiration in us. We long to love, to be loved, to relate to each other, and to continue that relationship after death. Can you think of any other type of aspiration?
Well, I know that when you and I have talked about certain experiences that you and yours have had, and from discussions you've had with many people over the years, you've talked to them about how grief pulls us there, because mm-hmm. it is natural for us to be in touch.
Yes. Oh, yeah, that's really true. I certainly realized that after the deaths in my family, that grief that actually has within it an aspiration that is from the deepest structures of the universe. And that is that pull toward the other side, because it is our very nature to be in touch with those we love. It's not over when someone steps out of the body. We still can relate to them. And in fact, it is the deepest aspiration of the universe that we do so.
Beautiful. Good to know. And keep in mind, we have a caller. Nelson, thank you for calling into the show.
Hi, aloha.
Hey. Aloha from Hawaii, they say you're calling.
Hi.
What would you like to share?
I called because I got the email regarding this show that's coming, that's today. I don't know if this is appropriate for the show, for as far as topic. It pertains to life after death, but
yes.
It pertains particularly to my beloved dog that passed away on Mother's Day.
Yes,
sure, sure
yes.
It does.
He gave me tons of signs of his existence. He was very attached to me, and he could not stand being away from me. I suspect after I spoke with Ayla Serona, she said that this dog saw me as his mother. What happened was when he passed away, a few weeks later, I had left his urn in my room unattended, and I had gone out to take a break from my caregiving, which is what I do 24/7. And what happened was that evening, the surveillance camera captured tons of orbs flying around my room as if he was looking for me. And so I have images of it. And I also, a couple of days later, I was still unbelieving. So about 2-3 days later, I found myself awake in my room. And I asked Charlie, my beloved dog, is he there? And if so, to give me a sign by beeping the Bluetooth phone. And in 1 to 2 minutes, it'd be 2 times.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. I was so unbelieving still. So a couple of days later, I'm very questioning type of person. And my friend is a psychic, and he, too, is questioning. So we're both not believing. So 2 days later, it happened again. I woke up like 4 o'clock in the morning. I don't know why, but so I asked Charlie, are you here? And if so, beep the phone. Let me know you're here. And 1 to 2 minutes, the phone started beeping. But this time around, it beeped nonstop. So I had to get out of the bed.
He wanted you to be sure this time.
Yeah. So I resettled the phone, and I thanked him for that message. But then I had to go to the restroom, because I had to go badly to the restroom. And while I'm in the restroom, it's doing it again. It's like beeping constantly. And this phone never does that. So I rushed back to my room because I didn't want to wake everybody. So I unsaddled it, and that was that. It's like, and then there were other incidents. And I... There's plenty others that it kind of made me wonder what's going on here, because for one thing, this dog was very human-like, and he slept with his head on a pillow next to me, and he was very human-like, and I was wondering if he was in fact human in his past life, and that's why he behaved so human-like, and because I didn't portray anything to him to be human or anything like that. I just took care of him. He died young because he had liver shunt. He lived only 4 years and 2 months. And what happened was, during the last 2 years, he suffered. He started to waste away. His face became emaciated. His body became emaciated. Until, basically, he was in and out of the hospital. So I took the best care for him. And then 1 week before he died, he went on top of me on my chest. He put his paw there on my heart and stared at me. And I can be so, blind. It didn't mean anything to me. I just thought, oh, he's just staring at me. And then next thing I know, 1 week later, I had to bring him to the hospital again. And he died there. And then there were other incidents. Because recently I asked, because I spoke with Ayla Serona, who's like a new spiritual person, and she told me to ask him, basically, what was the significance of the word Mother's Day, because she died on Mother's Day, and also why and a gold ring with diamonds appeared by his kennel that day that I transported him. I checked everyone if that belonged to him or her. I mean, no one owned that ring. So I asked him. And next thing I know, that day, a book came in that I had reserved, I mean, like 1 to 2 weeks before. And in that book, I discovered that there was a link to him and one person in Laura Lynn Jackson's book signed. And I started getting signs from what that boy that died. And one of his signs is balloons. And I got that. And then I was washing the car one day, my friend's car. I found a coin on the ground. And according to Laura, that's the sign. And the date should be significant. So I looked at the date. Way after, I didn't really look at the date that day. I put it by the Bluetooth phone and forgot about it. And then a couple of days later, at night, the Bluetooth phone started to beep. So what's going on here? So I grabbed the coin and I looked at it. And the coin had 2015 year date on it. And I Googled that boy's name. I mean, by the way, that boy's name was Caleb, which is dog for Hebrew. Mm-hmm. And that boy died in 2015. I sent a tweet to Laura Lynn Jackson, but I haven't had a response from her. But it's just that I'm wondering if he's, because recently I haven't had any more paranormal events. So I'm wondering if he's finally left. And if that's the case, do our pets or loved ones eventually go because maybe they get reincarnated or they have some kind of lesson plan on the other side that they have to deal with? So right now, that is my question.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, there are a lot of things there. First of all, I have to respond to the humor that he had. And since you were so skeptical and you weren't really taking what he was giving you as a sign, he really let you know. I think that is, I love the humor in it.
It's so great.
I wish I could send you his picture because in his pictures, he looks like he's laughing. So I swear to God that he has a sense of humor inside. The way he is.
I think so. The other thing is that, you know, when speaking of the humanness, before we get to the other question, you know, love is love. And everything in the mm-hmm. universe is created out of spirit. And mm-hmm. I think there are a lot of questions and different views that we could have. But sometimes, mm-hmm. I mean, animals and dogs have a deep sensitivity and they have a particular relationship with human beings. So the fact mm-hmm. that they would behave very often and remind us, I mean, the things they do, they're so endearing to us, are things that seem to be human, you know. And I think that mm-hmm. the spirit of these animals, some more it seems than others, are so developed in a way that we feel their closeness to us. But I think that one of the points I wanted to make is that the universe is created out of spirit. Everything has spirit. And dogs mm-hmm. And many animals have a particular development of that spirit in a way to develop with mm-hmm. us and create a really beautiful mm-hmm. relationship. The other mm-hmm. thing is that about people always ask questions about, you know, if they're in touch with someone or a loved animal, and then they're not later, they it's kind of a grief, you know, am I not going to see them again? Or have mm-hmm. they gone on to some other level of being mm-hmm. and can't get in touch with me? And mm-hmm. I would have to say, I don't know the answer to that. But I have heard several people who really felt that they were in touch. And then Fred Allen Wolfe, the physicist, I remember reading his book about the death of his son, and he was in touch with mm-hmm. him for a while. And then he had a vision in which he told his dad, I won't be able to be in touch with you for a while. I'm going into another dimension. So that mm-hmm. is what he experienced. I like to think, well, there are people, in fact, who have experienced loved ones early on, and then sometimes 20 years later after their death, and much later. And so I don't know, but I think that mm-hmm. I like to think that it's always possible, no matter where we are in that other dimension. I mean, the universe itself, when we love, we are connected wherever we are in the universe. And mm-hmm. so I like to think that whatever we're doing on the other side, that mm-hmm. that we can get in touch and be in touch again. But I guess we have to leave it as a kind of open question, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But
my,
I think...
My question... Uh-huh.
Yeah, no, go ahead.
I'm sorry. I'm related to my question regarding to them, your loved one or your pet. I don't call them pet because they're more, to me, like companion.
It's a more dignified word for what they are.
Yeah. Thank you. I've read from Dr. Michael Newton from his Life Between Lives books, and I've also read on Robert Schwartz's books, and they say that our animal companions go to a different sphere instead of the same sphere that we go to when we cross over.
Mm-hmm.
That means we don't actually live in the same realm when we pass over. But from reading Laura Lynch Jackson's book, what I'm reading is people are taking care of these animal companions that belong to their children. And that means they are not going to a different sphere. Am I assuming anything wrong on that?
No, I think, you know, there's so many unknowns. I remember the story of a little boy who had a near-death experience. And and it was kind of authentic because he didn't talk about being in a tunnel. He talked about being in a noodle. And that was how he experienced it. He said when he got to the other side, he saw animals going in one direction and people were going in another. Now, that could only, you know, these spatial things are... we have to be careful because maybe they have a certain aspect of their lives that in other realms and dimensions, but I think that we can be with them if we want to on the other side. Mm-hmm. I think the love connects us. And, you know, I mm-hmm. had, I was in Peru working with mm-hmm. shamans, some from the Amazon and the Andes, and we went mm-hmm. to Puno, and then to a sacred spot on Lake Titicaca in Bolivia. And there was a ritual that night with the shamans performed that ritual. We'd meditated all day. We were in an ancient stone circle meditating. And suddenly I saw on the mountaintop, which there were these ancient burial grounds on the mountaintop, and I saw people with tall headdresses. They reminded me of Incans. But the interesting thing mm-hmm. is that there were animals with them and very much mm-hmm. a part of their lives. And so I'm not so sure that there is something that can't be changed. I think our love makes so much possible, you know, so I don't think we can say mm-hmm. that they're definite structures, but that when we love, we mm-hmm. can draw to ourselves what we love mm-hmm. and create the lives that we want. It's absolutely a creative universe. So, but I think that seeing, and I think that those people were, I mean, they appeared. I was like you, I have to admit, in the beginning, I was skeptical of everything. That was the beginning of my journey. And I thought, oh, mm-hmm. those shamans have probably gone into Puno and brought about a bunch of people to make us think mm-hmm. they're spirits on the mountain. That's how bad I was. And then just as I mm-hmm. thought that, they perceived my thought because they started moving in a sort of a wave-like manner so that I could see that they were not people, but they were spirits. So they
were, that's amazing.
Yeah. And I, you know, they say in South America that you meditate, you pass from the tonal to the nagual, to the spirit world. I knew that these were spirits at that point, especially when I saw, I looked to the left and I saw one was, I couldn't tell whether when he lifted his arms, whether it was wings or white cloak or what, but he walked in the air and then started coming toward our circle. Well, I was just not ready for it. And I started looking at the circle. I didn't keep my eyes on him, which I am so disappointed in myself, but I guess I wasn't ready for it. Mm-hmm. But when he was walking in the air, then I knew, yes, of course, with that fluid movement of them, I could see that they were spirits. They're walking in air and they had the animals with them. And the animals are such a part of their lives. And so I wow. often think about that.
Okay. What a great story.
Yeah,
yours was too.
Yeah.
Charlie's story, we should say.
Yes, well, you certainly have a companion on the other side and such a beautiful gift of the friendship while on earth together. But that's love is eternal. And well, I thank you, Milton, for calling in. That's it's a beautiful story. Yeah. It really is. And
last thing. I know you guys have your organization, Laura Lynn Jackson is connected to. Is there a way you can, if I can give you my email, if you could answer that one question that I've been trying to send to her regarding those things?
I don't think so.
Okay.
I think it's probably better for you to try and reach her directly. I'm not positive. You could always email through foreverfamilyfoundation.org website. And if they have a different answer, then they would be able to give it to you. But I believe she's a volunteer and isn't somewhere like at the facility itself every day or in touch maybe every day. Mm-hmm. But thank you so much for calling, Nelson.
And I wanted to say one more time before you go, Nelson, that I was laughing because I was laughing with his sense of humor when you had to go to the bathroom and he was still letting you know, I'm here.
I know.
That's really good. Yeah. I appreciate that. We needed a good laugh tonight.
And his persistence.
Oh, his persistence
is good. And you know what? Maybe that's why he no longer does that phone thing anymore, because that was his final say that I am here. Don't ask me that question anymore, maybe, because I know that it's hard for spirits to do that kind of thing.
Yeah, I like that because he has answered. And, you know, sometimes because we've been so trained into not experiencing what is actually there is that, you know, he really did a number. I mean,
it went all out.
He did.
and thinking, you know, now you know, yes, I'm here. And you wouldn't want to have to hear that all the time anyway. He's made his point.
True.
That's right.
Well,
thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you.
I appreciate it. God bless.
You too. I would like to give the call-in numbers again for those of you who are going to step into your courage and share your stories. 888-627-6008 and 323-744-4831. And I have to apologize to Sherry. Sherry was on the line waiting for us, and we invite you to call back, Sherry. There are plenty we'd love to hear about from you. Anyway, one other thing I wanted to say is Forever Family Foundation has been bringing evidence of the afterlife since 2004. For those of you who may not know, it's a global 100% volunteer, nonprofit, non-sectarian organization that supports the premise that life does not end with physical death, furthers the understanding of afterlife science and survival of consciousness. It offers many, many services and programs for the bereaved and the curious, and they have active members from various disciplines, scientists, researchers, medical doctors, philosophers, educators, who devoted substantial parts of their lives and careers to the survival hypothesis. So we would like to hear from you about anything related to this magical, mystical, beautiful subject.
Yes, and Sherry, I hope you can hear me. I hope you're there. I can't. I'm sitting to the left of the computer and can't see what's way over there. And Kim was kind enough not to stop us from talking, we do want to hear what you have to say. So please do call back. And while we're waiting, then I'll go to another one of the quotations that I had in the chapters. And this was based on a visionary experience that Ishvan, my husband, had with our son, Pishti. Pishti had died when he had the vision with him, and it wouldn't be too much later until Ishvan would die. But I'll tell that experience when we come back, because I see we have a caller, Peter, from New York. Good. Hello, Peter.
Hello. How is everybody tonight?
Pretty great.
Good.
How are you tonight?
I'm good. I had a reading by a certified medium from the Forever Family Foundation, and they mentioned that my mother came through and that she's been sending me message or doing things around my house, and I guess I'm just not smart enough to pick up on what she's doing and what's going on. My question directly is, how do you recognize a message? Can anybody answer that? I mean, what is she doing that I'm not picking up on?
You have anything to say to that?
Are you sensing anything whatsoever, Peter, that you might be dismissing or doubting or thinking that's not, you know, good enough, or that couldn't be it, or is there anything?
Well, no, you know, I have to tell you that I do this often, that whenever I'm missing something, like I can't find something, what I do is I ask my father where it is, and believe it or not, within minutes, I'll check someplace that I haven't checked, and that might be a message. What might be a message that I'm just not picking up on? Is there any way, or a bit of a guide that you could give me?
I wish Janet were here, because she's so good at this, and talking about noticing things and being observant of everything. And I'm really kind of learning from her to really pay attention, because we have such a tendency in our culture to just dismiss things as coincidence. Oh, that didn't really mean anything, you know. It's that couldn't be it. So all I know to say is that the observance, just being very careful in trying to observe everything around you and what's in the house and or wherever you are. And but I think also feeling sometimes will guide you in that. You know, sometimes you just have a feeling of something and then you notice it.
Well, and maybe because you do get a response to your inquiries when you put them out to your dad, maybe you could put it out.
That's
there.
That's a good idea.
Just,
yeah.
You know, you don't have to define the sign. You can let them pick the sign, but let them know that you're aware and interested and would
waiting.
Be grateful for and are going to be tuned in.
Mm-hmm.
And then,
right. She lived to be 100, by the way.
Oh my goodness.
She was a bit of a jokester in the, towards the end. And she lived in my house, and she was kind of a handful. We had an aide taking care of her, but like I said, she was a bit of a handful. And her passing was, how can I say it? It was, of course, it was sad to see her go, but I'm happy that I believe what she believed has taken her and is taking care of her. You know, everyone that I've ever heard have a reading always say that these people on the other side, you know, they're doing great. Nobody ever comes back and says, oh, you know, they got a lousy room, the food's no good.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, I mean, so all I'm saying is now when she sends me a message, or there is a message, you know, in fact, the medium did say, ask your brother why he couldn't find his shoes. Supposedly she hid his shoes. But my brother doesn't believe the sky is blue, so I wouldn't even speak to him about it. But I have to tell you what happened. The night that we had the reading, we left for dinner. And when we came back, there was something different. And I have to tell you something about my mother. For a while, she lived in a nursing facility. And when I used to go see her late at night, I would go down to a recreation room and we would sit and watch TV or talk. And before we left that room, she made me walk around to every couch and chair and adjust the pillows so that they were exactly right. And and I said, I said, Ma, nobody cares about the pillows. Come on, let's go. Anyway, we went out that night of the reading. And when we came back, I came in and I stared at the couch. And there, every pillow was like a soldier in its place. And I asked everyone around me, the four or five people that were here, did you fix these pillows? Who did this? I know my wife didn't do it. My sister said, oh, I don't know if I did it or not. I can't remember. I asked my niece who was here, and she said, she just put her hands up to her face and went, oh, no. You know, she didn't know if she did it, but these pillows were perfect, and they were the way, you know what I'm saying, the way that
I was just going to say, you know, look for that kind of thing that she did when she was here. That's a perfect example of what she would do. I love it.
That sign's got her name all over it.
It certainly does have.
Times multiple pillows. That's pretty great.
Yeah, I love it. That's pretty good. Oh, thank you.
I'll try and look for any kind of signs that seem out of the ordinary and think about it some more. But thank you very much for,
And that would be in her personality to do, like the pillows.
That's right. And another thing Janet always says, which I remind people of every time we are on the show, is that it's important to be expressive of your gratitude.
Oh, that's right.
Because they're working hard.
Yeah.
If they're doing things that we're noticing.
One more thing that the medium said when he was here is he asked me if one of my dogs had an eye problem. And I said, yeah. And he says, and then he mentioned my two other dogs. He says, well, they're with your mother now. And I just got such joy out of that. Like, I miss these dogs so much.
Now I know
they're with grandma, so to
that's
speak.
Awesome.
And I'm thinking, that's really
that's
cool.
That's great. I hope our earlier caller hears that.
That's right.
I hope so.
Okay, well, thank you so much.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Hi, Melissa. Thank you for waiting.
Melissa, are you there?
Give Melissa another moment. Okay. How about Jean? Are you there, Jean?
Here.
Hi, Jean. How are you?
Oh, I'm fine. How are you, ladies?
Good. Thank you for calling.
Okay. Well, mine is kind of simple, but when my daughter crossed over 3 years ago, of course, she was 15, and it was a suicide. And, of course, I was completely devastated. But I had started doing a lot of reading, and I was listening to an audio book, Journey of Souls by Michael Newton. And I was on a long trip back. My other two girls had a tennis tournament, so we were driving back from that. And it was just on a highway, and I had my phone up to my ear so I could hear the book. And it was quiet in the car. And then right in mid-sentence, in the middle of a chapter, that started crackling like that. And I thought, oh, well, then maybe the tape is messed up or something. But as clear as can be, a male voice came over and said my daughter's name, Calista Isbell. And I pulled the phone away. I said, what? Well, I could not explain that. I could not. And I just kept looking at my phone and checking on my phone. But as soon as that name was said, it went right back to the text in the Journey of Souls. But
what?
I could not believe that. How in the world did her name get put in the middle of the text in the Journey of Souls that I was listening to? And nobody can explain it.
Those are the things, we can't explain it.
Yeah, and I was so happy to have that because I needed validation. I'm still looking for her. I'm still asking for signs. I talk to her all the time. We just were learning A Course in Miracles together. And I'm not giving up on her. She is still my daughter. I'm still her mother, and she needs me, and I need her. And we have a strong connection, although, you know, I don't feel her much around me, but I do wait for her signs, and she gives them to me every now and then just to keep me happy, I guess. So,
well, yeah, I would really agree with you that the relationship is sacred and profound, and who knows what's going to come through, you know. It's I feel with you that it's a mother-daughter relationship, and you are together, and you can be there for her when she does come through.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, that's all I want to share this time around. Thank you very much.
Well, it's a good story. It's a very amazing story. So thank you.
Good night. Thank you. Bye bye.
Good night. I'll give the number again if anyone would like to give another call in. We have 888-627-6008 and 323-744-4831. Sherry and Melissa, we'd love to hear from you. Sorry we didn't get to you in time before you hung up, but we do thank you for calling. And Betty, you were in the middle of something when we got a call from Peter.
Oh, that's right. I was so taken by the calls, I forgot. Mm-hmm. Yes, it was a vision that my husband Istvan had with our son Pishti after Pishti had crossed over. And they were sitting on a mountain in Peru. My husband had never been to Peru. And they were looking out at the ocean. And Pishti, our son, said to him, "Dad, do you see the horizon? The ocean blended in with the blue of the sky. It was just eternal." He said, "Do you see the horizon? Even that is not the limit." And they had been talking about creativity and how creative human beings are. And they often don't know that. We don't know that. And in fact, and the reason I'm telling this is that was kind of the beginning of my journey after our son died, when things were really opening up for me. But at that moment, when he said that, what happened in my mind is that I had just one after the other of situations that I thought of that I thought, well, no, that's limited. That's limited. I couldn't do that. One can't do that. One can't do that. And I don't feel that way now at all. The process has changed me totally, because I do know that our creativity is unlimited. As someone had said, I think very profoundly, is that our only limits are what we put on ourselves, our limits in the imagination. But I think that, you know, as we go through and we experience these experiences change us. And I think we do grow, we do transform, and it changes people around us as well.
Reminds me of that saying about you'll see it when you believe it.
Yeah.
Right? It's like, if you don't believe it, you'll miss it when it's on the tip of your nose.
That's so true, isn't it? That we can't even see things that we don't believe.
Right. I think that was Willis Harmon too.
I was thinking, yeah, it was Willis Harmon.
Like self-imposed limitations.
Yeah, it's there was my book is The Miracle of Death. There is nothing but life. And there was a bit that came from a vision again that Istvan had with Pishti after he crossed over, in which he was kind of struggling with the idea of dying, even though he really knew at that point what he hadn't known before, because he'd been very skeptical of everything before. But then when he started having the visions with Pishti, he knew, but he still did not want to die. And so he was in a situation with Pishti, and they were in a pool. It's sort of like magic water. And Pishti said to his dad, "Dad, you don't need to fear death. You've done it many times." And he said, suddenly he saw his body that he'd sort of hung on a hanger. And he said, they both had a good laugh when they saw the mouth hanging open. And he said, "But I got back into that body and came back." But he said, Pishti said to him, "Dad, there is nothing but life. Because when we die, it's simply a birth into the other dimension." So, and that's one of the quotations I had at the beginning in the introduction, is that death is the fundamental mystery of life, just as life is the fundamental mystery of death. And we've been able to celebrate this mystery of birth and life, but we're just learning to celebrate the mystery of death, which is birth of another sort. It's a birth into the spirit dimension.
You're telling of their hanging their bodies up on a hook and have good laugh at the jaws hanging open. Yeah. Reminds me of some of the experiences that Ishvan had when he was getting premonitions of his own death coming, and the sword.
Oh,
and
yeah.
What it reminded me like of what when Peter had said that he had to get up, or it was Nelson, I think, had to get up and use a restroom. So,
oh, that was true. He was on his way to Hungary in about two weeks, and he had a vision, and that he was with a vast spiritual feminine being. And she was saying to him, you are going to die. It is your time to die. And he kept saying, no, I absolutely refuse that. I love you.
My choice.
I love you and all that, but it needs to be my choice. And she said to him, of course, whose choice would it be? Of course it's your choice. And he said, well, I am simply not going to do it. And she said, well, that's okay. He said, well, I have to go to the bathroom. And she said, well, that's okay, you go. And he got up during the vision, went to the bathroom, came back, and she was saying the same thing. It is time. It is time. It is time for you to go. And it is your choice. And, well, it was 2 weeks that he...
What about the sword?
Oh, that was another time that he was... This was closer. This one was closer to his death. Oh. Because in 2 weeks or less, he went to Hungary where he was killed in an automobile accident. And so she was warning him. In fact, she said to him, the worms have already begun to work in your body. In other words, it'd be maybe 2 weeks before he would actually have the accident and be killed. But she was saying to him, the transformation is already underway in your body. And that kind of thing can't be changed, I guess. But another one earlier was with Pishti after he had crossed over. And he was, again, fighting with death. He did not want to die. And so Pishti then in the vision handed him a sword. And he thought, well, that's strange. What are you giving me this for? And then he caught the joke that since you're so in battle with death, here's the sword. And he said, then he thought he was just struggling so hard and it was terrible. And then Pishti just put a finger on his back. And that warmth from that relationship and the love just kind of flowed through him and he felt okay. But over and over again, he would have that sensation that he was dying and he's fighting it until finally, he said, finally, I realized I relaxed. I was totally in agreement with everything and I was in the flow. I knew that my energy, when I doubted and worked against the flow, then I was in knots and struggling and scared and half crazed. And when I finally just said, okay, I'm going to just go with the flow, I'll flow with it. And he said, and then I began to realize, oh my God, I'm in the flow of pure creativity. I don't need to control it. I don't need to prove it. I just need to flow with it. And so when he was telling me the vision, I said, well, are you still afraid to die? And he said, I don't want to die, flow or no flow. I want to stay alive. But anyway, I guess he finally did have to come to terms with it. And he said, I'm not afraid of what's on the other side. I just don't want to give up my life yet.
So. Yeah, I remember you saying, he said, that's not such an easy question.
Oh, yeah, did you die or not? Well, not such an easy question. And that was always it on the other side, death and life. It wasn't, there was no difference because there is nothing but life. So it never was like, oh, like even when he's with Pishti, he wasn't dead. He knew that he was as fully alive as he had ever been. Because it just isn't a question, right, on like, that side.
Like the near-death experiencers, they don't cross over and feel dead.
No,
no, right. They're simply there. Pretty amazing. Pretty amazing. That kind of goes into the angle of experience.
Oh, yeah. That's true with certain.
Right.
What is that quotation?
That's Christopher Fry.
Oh, yeah. There's an angle.
of experience.
Of experience.
Where the dark is distilled into light.
Yeah, that always fascinated me, that quotation from him, because we see darkness and we can fight against it. And yet there is an angle, he's saying, there's a certain perspective that we are capable of, and which what seems dark to us really can be seen and transformed.
Or impossible.
Yeah.
Or impossible to us.
Dark or impossible, mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like we can't do a certain thing, that we are capable of distilling it into light. And I think of several of the dreams that my son had before he died. It was about creating. And one of the dreams he had was that he did paint and he drew. He was an artist. And he had a vision that he was painting on this huge canvas. And there were storms and terrible things coming. And he saw a woman holding a child. And she was looking back at the storm. And a voice said to him,
Protect
everything that is coming into being. And I think that, you know, we're in a crisis, and things were always in a crisis on the planet. But that's something it seems so important to remember, is that whatever we do, human life is not to be sacrificed for it, that we should protect all children, every living thing as it comes into being. And if we can't do that, then we don't have a sacred plan. We don't have a really living, healthy plan unless that is there. And back to the, is it almost time? No, not to the darkness, though. There was another, I had a dream after our son's death in which I saw, I was out away from the earth. And then as I sort of came zooming down toward the North Pole, I saw a huge cauldron and I saw these jackal healers around it, and they were stirring it feverishly. And I saw that Pishti was one of the jackal healers, and they were stirring it. And I said, you know, what are you doing? What is in the cauldron? And they said, shit, unclaimed shit. And they were stirring it feverishly to keep it from overflowing and taking over the whole planet. And they were kind of jovial and yet serious. But I think it's a wonderful symbol for how we distill our darkness into light, is that first of all, we have to claim it for what it is, that we don't have to claim that whole cauldron, but we do have to go up to the North Pole, take our bowl there and get what we have done that is dark and become conscious of it so that we can distill it into light. Where are all you people out there not calling us today? Is it about?
How about the trickster bard?
Oh, that was, yeah. Yes, Ishwin and I had been having so many visions after our son died, and not just with him, but about what's going on in the world today and why we were born and what we had come to do. But sometimes it got so heavy. And it seemed that Pishti's girlfriend, as well as my husband, both saw Pishti's image. I did not. I knew his presence. We talked, but he did not present himself as Pishti. And he had later told his dad that as a mother so attached to that image that he didn't do that. He would really just, I knew where he was in the room and his voice, he was present. But I don't know, after visions of so much that was happening that was so profound and it almost did me in, I had a dream just before I woke up, and I went into the kitchen and I was making breakfast, and it seemed that Pishti was still alive. And I had bought a white Tibetan shirt that he liked and took over. It was pretty masculine anyway. And so suddenly he came into the room and we hugged. And I thought that when we hugged, that my hands would just go through him because he would not be substantial in spirit. But no, it was the other way around. His hands went right through me. His arms went right through me. I was the one that had no substance. And then I, maybe before we hugged, I had said to him, he had on his old dirty Nikes. And I said, I bought you a new pair before you left. And he said, when he looked at me, he said, am I real enough? You know, it's like, what is real anyway? He appeared as a person with a familiar white shirt and his dirty Nikes. And he just said, is this real enough? And that really did, it right. helped me.
I need, I'm back. Is this what you need?
Is this what it is that you right. need? Just like with Nelson and giving him all those.
Oh. Nelson actually just called back.
Oh, great. Okay.
Nelson, thank you for calling back. What do you have to tell us?
Hi, aloha again.
Hello.
Hi. Your show is so fascinating. I'm sitting here and then I noticed that one of the callers had a, I missed the ending part of his comment about the next call after me about grandma or something and about yes. possibly a dog.
Yeah, she was, he said the grandmother was taking care of the dogs. The dogs were with her on the other side. Yeah, I hoped
that
you heard
Peter.
That.
Wow. That was Peter. Yes.
Yeah, was it Peter?
Yes.
Oh, that is, yeah, because one of my grief is because when we cross over, I would wish that we would be reunited with all our loved ones, not just our human ones.
And I think you will. I absolutely think we will. But I mm-hmm. love that. I hope you were listening when you said that the dogs were with the grandmother on the other side. Yeah.
Yeah, I heard that part. I mean, but I miss a certain part of it because I'm also doing, I'm a caregiver to my parents, yeah, so I'm doing two things at the same time.
Oh,
so I miss that particular part. And then you mentioned there were no callers left. So, oh, okay, I wouldn't be rude if I were trying to call in between.
Oh,
that's good. Well, I'm glad you did. And I definitely feel that we're not going to be separated. Love connects. It doesn't separate. Mm-hmm. And love exists with animals, with many different life forms, as well as humans. So mm-hmm. I have now no doubt about that whatsoever.
Yeah, I've read a lot of from pet communicators. They say that when they leave their bodies, they don't leave you. But I read so many stories that some of these animal companions, owners or parents, they keep saying, oh, I don't sense him anymore. I don't see him and all that. I don't get any more signs. And then I'm on that same boat now. But I'm.
Except you've had him. Don't forget, Nelson. You've had those signs.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah.
Just one more thing before we have to end for the evening, Nelson. I want to recommend when you said pet parents, it reminded me of a book called The Healing Art of Pet Parenthood by Nadine Rosin, uh-huh. Rosin. And she had an incredible, incredible relationship with her dog Buttons. So those of you who have animal family members might be interested in her book, The Healing Art
true.
Of Pet
okay.
Parenthood. So thank you again.
Okay, thank you, Nelson. Good night.
Good night.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Aloha.
Aloha to you. And we wish all of you out there a fabulous rest of the evening or the rest of the day, depending where you are in the moment. We thank you for joining us, and we hope you will join us again next month.
Yes, and Janet will be back next month. Okay, good night, everybody.
Good night.